This is your NPR station, 90.3 WBHM, Birmingham. I'm Andrew Yeager. The U.S. Supreme Court's landmark 1954 ruling in the Brown v. Board of Education case struck down racial segregation in schools. And while the court ordered schools to desegregate with all deliberate speed, the vague language allowed Southern officials to delay and resist school integration for years. It wasn't until 1969 the court forced school integration. Birmingham Southern College history professor Will Hustwit wrote about the case in his book, Integration Now, Alexander V. Holmes and the End of Jim Crow Education. He explains the court ultimately issued a unanimous ruling, but the justices didn't start an agreement.
They deliberate for a little while here whether or not they should actually remove officially the language of all deliberate speed and what's the actual schedule here, what's the timeline for school desegregation, because there's a lot of concern about, well, if we just turn around and this is going to happen 3 days later, a week later, will school districts be able to just, you know, physically or otherwise carry that out? Justice Black is the one who is really adamant about saying we're going to do this. They really don't need more than about a week. They've had all the time in the world to do this. It's been 15 years. Let's do this thing. Once they're clear about that, then basically in January of 1970, in the middle of the school year, this is when this wave of what's known as massive integration, now instead of massive resistance, is going to hit the South.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the school year. From an education perspective, I think that's got to create a lot of problems.
Yeah. Some of this had to do with making sure that there was parity or ratios in hiring practices with a teaching corps, administrators, making sure that transportation was lined up effectively to get students to school on time, making sure that you had the infrastructure, the facilities that could facilitate having that number of students go into a unitary school system. So there were some real concerns here, but basically in January 1970, school districts get into line and they start doing this.
What would you say is the effect of this ruling? Because we have the notable Brown ruling, which gets all the headlines, but sort of your argument in your book is that this really didn't culminate until this ruling in Alexander versus Holmes. Did it actually accomplish what it set out to accomplish?
It did at the time. This was the fulfillment of the court's effort to create a unitary school system. It's also important, I think, to put things into historical perspective. I think a lot of times with these rulings, people want to judge them based on today rather than what they meant at the time. So part of the book is an effort to restore. Let's go back to 1970 and just think about how momentous of a change this was unto itself. But the other thing is to step back 100 years in the past. And if you go back to, 1869, 1870, that's just the beginning of a public education system in the South. It was public education was invented by African Americans during the Reconstruction era. Those were not integrated schools. That was not the goal at the time. And even if you push back earlier from the Reconstruction era and you look back into slavery, that was a period in which Black education was, of course, it was criminalized. If you kind of put it into that kind of long arc, which is what the book is attempting to do, then that's, I think, where the case's true significance comes out.
I will do what you told me not to and say, how does this case look today, 50 years later? Because we certainly have seen what's been termed the resegregation of schools, where it may not be by law, but it's de facto segregation once again.
The Alexander ruling is still on the shelves in a lot of different places. I think that in Alabama alone, something like one-third of all the school districts in the state are still technically under the Alexander rules. So you had this period in 70-71 when you have tremendous numbers of students going to school for the first time with members of the other race. Once that is carried out, you also see, of course, during those years, efforts at two other things. There's the effort of the private school movement, and then there's also the separate school systems that will appear. In Jefferson County, for example, there's about 11 different separate school systems that peel away. Those are ongoing issues that we have today. I think that really it's up to local communities to decide how important these things are. That's where a lot of this really gets resolved. You can have orders from federal courts. You can have mandates from the federal government. Whether or not a local community decides that this is something that's important to them is a different matter.
That's Birmingham Southern College history professor Will Hustwit. He's the author of Integration Now, Alexander V. Holmes, and the End of Jim Crow Education.